Good evening. It's good to be with all of you again. There they are. I saw special visitors, Pastor Tigner and his wife Bonnie. It's good to be with you as well. Brothers and sisters, would you open up your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We come to verses 10 through 12 of chapter 1 this evening. Hear together with me the word of God. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Last week we considered verses 6 through 9, where Peter was laying out some reasons for the present joy that we can have now in the midst of difficulty and suffering. And in some sense, verses 10 through 12 continue that theme, continue that trajectory of thought, so to speak. Giving reasons for present joy in the middle of present difficulty. And here Peter reminds them once again of their identity. You remember our first sermon was to consider the identity of the recipients. And this is what he brings them back to again. Their identity as those who are privileged in the status of those who are new covenant believers, the beneficiaries of the prophetic word spoken in the Old Testament scriptures. They are the recipients of a more full grace. The prophets and the angels even long to understand. And so we will consider verses 10 through 12 this evening under two headings: grace prophesied and grace proclaimed. Grace prophesied and grace proclaimed. Now let us consider grace prophesied. Note here in verse 10, Peter says, concerning this salvation. What's this salvation? This salvation is with regards to what Peter has already said in verses 3 and following. This salvation, Peter has already said, is sure. It's a sure reality. How do we know that? Because Peter says it's guarded in heaven. Verse 4, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. It's kept in heaven. And then in verse 5, he says that the Lord, by his sovereign power, guards us through the instrumentality of faith, through the means of faith. He guards us and keeps us so that we might receive this great salvation, which is laid up in heaven. This salvation is a salvation which brings great and overwhelming and inexpressible joy, even in the midst of the most difficult of circumstances. It is this salvation that Peter says was prophesied. Concerning this salvation, he calls this salvation by another name here. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace This salvation is of grace. So much so that he can use one term for the other. Grace is that which is opposed to works. Works are done that one might earn something. For instance, your check that you get after a week's work is not of grace. That is something that is owed to you by your employer. Now we know when we receive that, we say, thank you, Lord, for providing this job. This is of grace. But your actual work earns a wage. It would actually be kind of offensive if the boss said to you, well, you know, I know you did all that work, but here, this is just of grace. This is just of my favor that I display to you. But no, because it's something that we earn. You work that you might earn something. But Peter says that salvation is of grace. And so it's not something that we work to attain, to merit, to earn. But there is something else to this word grace. You see, brothers and sisters, we not only have not earned the right of this salvation, but we've actually demerited it. It's not that we just haven't achieved it and earned it, but we've actually done the opposite. We've done things that merit punishment. You know, the wages of sin, our death, that's the wages, what I'm going to pay you, what you're owed for what you've done. It's your wages. But salvation is of grace. And so it's not something that we earn, and it's actually something that we earn quite the opposite thereof. And this is why he says it is of grace. This is of grace. Of the grace of God. Salvation is called grace because, as we've seen already from verses 1 all the way to verses 9, that all of salvation is the work of God. The work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so he says that salvation is grace. Brothers and sisters, friends, I ask you this evening, are you trusting in Christ or are you trusting in your own righteousness? You see, if we are to have this salvation, it must be of grace, and so it must not be of ourselves. We must trust in Christ, in the work that He has accomplished, in which He has done, that we might be the beneficiaries, that we might be those who receive salvation. And it is this grace that was prophesied. That was prophesied. That was foretold. He says it was prophesied by the prophets. And immediately our minds go to people like Isaiah, who he quotes explicitly in this book. Or prophets like Jeremiah, who spoke of the coming of the new covenant. But what we often forget is Peter, in Acts 2, calls David a prophet, who spoke of the sufferings and the resurrection of Christ. Given that that's our context here, and given how much Peter uses the Psalms throughout his letter, it seems that Peter's understanding of the prophets is something more broad than simply Isaiah or Jeremiah. They were the prophets who prophesied by the Spirit of Christ in them. Notice those words there. By the Spirit of Christ in them. The Spirit indwelled Old Covenant believers. The Spirit indwelled Old Covenant saints. And he is called the Spirit of Christ because Peter is speaking from our vantage point. We know him as the Spirit of Christ. Why? Because, also going back to Acts 2, it was Christ who poured out the Holy Spirit, the reward he received, and he poured him out upon the church. And so he is known as the Spirit of Christ. And it is this Holy Spirit that indwelled Old Covenant saints. And notice, here in our text, who is it that predicts the sufferings of Christ in subsequent glories? It is the Spirit. Peter says it's the Spirit who did these things. The Spirit predicted these things. The Spirit said this. I don't know how many pages it is in your Bible, but if you turn over two pages, you'll see in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, Peter says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter says the same thing here. It's the Spirit who spoke in the prophets. When the prophets spoke, the Spirit spoke. When they prophesied of Christ, the Spirit spoke. The Spirit predicted these things. The prophets prophesied, and yet the Spirit predicted. And so this is something that we have to keep in mind. That the authors of Scripture, the authors of the Old Testament Scripture, were true writers and speakers of the oracles of God. The Lord used their minds and their backgrounds and their knowledge, their vocabulary. Oftentimes, as you read Scripture, you notice there are certain things that are kind of special to Paul, or things that are kind of special to Peter, or other authors, especially we notice this in the Gospels. Why? Because they have their own vocabulary and language. And the Spirit is using all of these things so that when they speak, the Spirit speaks. So it's not one or the other. It's not the prophets or the Spirit, but it's the prophets who spoke by the Spirit. So let us not treat the Bible like any other book. Sometimes you hear that. Just read the Bible like any other book. You can't read the Bible like any other book. It's not any other book. Let us never take the Word of God lightly. But when we approach Scripture, let us approach it with reverence, with awe. That this is the very word of the Holy Spirit. You know, so many people want an experience of the Spirit. They want to speak in tongues, or they want to hear others speak in tongues, that they might hear a word of the Spirit. But brothers and sisters, do you want to hear the word of the Spirit? Then read Scripture. Listen to Scripture. Where we find the Spirit speaking is in the Word of God. That is where we find the Spirit speaking unto us. And the Lord has been so gracious as to give His people His Word. His very Word. So what was the content of what they prophesied? What was the content of what they prophesied? Peter tells us that they prophesied concerning the sufferings of Christ and afterward the glories. The sufferings of Christ and afterward the glories. You see, brothers and sisters, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant Scriptures, because that's who Peter has in mind when he speaks of the prophets. Those Scriptures are about Christ. Those Scriptures are about Christ. The Old Testament is about Christ. And that's how we ought to read our Bibles. This is exactly how the apostles read Scripture. When they read Scripture, they saw Christ. And you know where they learned that from? From Christ Himself. Remember on the road to Emmaus, Jesus took them throughout all the Scriptures, showing how they spoke of Him. The Scriptures are about Christ. The Old Covenant Scriptures are about Christ. They point us unto Him. Think of Acts chapter 17, when Paul comes and he teaches and he preaches concerning Christ from the Old Covenant Scriptures. And what do the Bereans do? They say, oh, well, they're apostles. We can't interpret Scripture the way they do. Well, what do they do? They search diligently out the Scriptures and they come to the same conclusions as Paul has come. And they're convinced and they believe. And Paul commends them for their searching of the Scriptures. The apostles did not make up the prophecies concerning Christ or try to fit them into the Old Covenant Scriptures. But they arise out of the Old Covenant Scriptures organically, naturally. And you know why? And this is why I say we cannot read our Bibles as any other book. You know why they can arise out naturally? Not because of the prophet. The prophets themselves did not understand. They inquired. They were searching. But it was because the Spirit had spoke through them. And so you have two authors, so to speak, of Scripture. You have the human and the divine author. And thus there is human and divine intent. And sometimes what the prophets wrote, they didn't understand. But the Spirit intended it. And that's the things that, in light of the coming of Christ, the apostles see and they understand as they are given the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, there is only one message of Holy Scripture. One unified message. With Christ at the center. There is one message and there's one Spirit. And there's one people of God. One people, one Spirit, one message. But this message of the gospel, although proclaimed and although prophesied, although understood to some degree by the prophets, was not as explicit in the Old Testament Scriptures. And thus, that's why Peter says the prophets searched carefully to understand more fully. They got glimpses. They understood aspects. But they didn't understand it all. And in their search, the Lord in His kindness revealed something unto them. And this brings us to our second point this evening. Grace proclaimed. Grace proclaimed. What was it that was revealed to the prophets as they searched and inquired? What was revealed to them? Notice verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but You. That's what was revealed unto them. The Lord revealed to them, to the prophets who diligently inquired, that these things that they prophesied would not be for their time. It would not be fulfilled. It would not be accomplished. Redemption would not be accomplished in their time. That's not to say that the prophets or the believers in the Old Covenant didn't receive the benefits of Christ in the Old Covenant. Surely they did. And that's why Paul can go to a person like Abraham to show that from the Old Covenant to the New, men have always been justified by faith in Christ. But yet, this redemption prophesied would not be accomplished in their time. And the Lord revealed that unto them, that they were serving those of another age. Peter says they were serving you. And brothers and sisters, that's how you should read the Old Covenant Scriptures. They're serving you for your benefit, for your understanding. They're prophesying of realities that were to come. Note our Lord's words in Matthew 13:17. The Lord said, "For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." The gospel was made known to them, but not with the clarity. They did not know that it would be Jesus who would be the Messiah. Those things were not revealed unto them. But they longed to see it. These things that were prophesied have now been announced to us through the preaching of the good news, or through those who preach the good news. Notice there in verse 12. What was prophesied is now proclaimed to you. Only one way of salvation, one message of salvation from Old to New Testament. And though the prophets didn't fully understand, it is these realities of which they spoke that are now proclaimed to you. You see, the unity of the message, what's preached and proclaimed today and now, is not different from what was preached and proclaimed then. But rather, there is a unity of the message. And Peter is saying the prophesied message of salvation, of which the prophets longed to understand. The prophets. Has now been revealed to you. Isaiah, even though he stood and saw the glory of the Lord. Isaiah 6, remember when he's commissioned to go out and be a prophet of the Lord. And even he did not see and understand all that we do now. What a privilege it is to be a part of the new covenant people of God. And this is what Peter is saying to them. What a privilege it is. How it should thrill you and cause you to be overflowing with joy in the midst of suffering and difficulty, because you have received a privilege that even the prophets did not receive. Oh, how blessed we are to have the fullness of the gospel, clarity of the gospel message. And those who carry the message of the gospel do so, notice here again, by the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that indwelt the Old Covenant prophets is the same Spirit by which those who proclaim the gospel proclaim it, the message, by the Holy Spirit. By the Spirit, that same Spirit that empowered the prophets empowers the preacher of the gospel today. And this is why hearing the word proclaimed is so crucial to the Christian life. And brothers and sisters, this is why it's so important that we do not remove ourselves from the assembly, but we gather together to hear the word proclaimed on the Lord's Day. Because when the word is preached, the Spirit is active. When the word is preached, the Spirit is active. Where there is preaching, there is the work of the Spirit. And so let us not remove ourselves from this very important means of grace that the Lord has appointed for our good. Peter says he is the Spirit sent from heaven. The Spirit sent from heaven. Notice once again As I mentioned, Peter speaks of David as the prophet in Acts 2, and it's also in that exact place where we find the Spirit who has descended and poured out in greater degree on the New Covenant Church. The Spirit from heaven, who came down from heaven, sent by the Father and the Son to empower the church. Notice in Acts chapter 2, verse 33, Peter says, "Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing." He is the Spirit sent from heaven. And it is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit sent from heaven by the Son, who gives power to the church and who gives power to the preachers within the church to proclaim the gospel message. And this should give us great, great encouragement. As we stand here and preach the gospel, or as those of you who go out and witness to family or friends, that salvation is of grace. It's not something that men can earn. It's not something that you can twist their arms into. But salvation is of grace. And the work of the Spirit always accompanies the Word. And so do not try to convince people with the craftiest of arguments, but take them to the Word. There's a place for arguments. There's a place for evidences. I don't deny those things. But the power is in the Word. And we can trust that Word. We can trust that in the witness, the faithful witness of the Word, the Spirit will be active. Lastly, Peter says that this grace that was prophesied and now proclaimed to us is even something angels longed to understand. What a privilege that we have received, that the angels in heaven who stand before the Lord and cry, "Holy, holy, holy," do not even fully understand these realities which have been proclaimed to you. Prophets and angels have not received what you have received. That's what Peter is saying. Prophets and angels have not received what you have received. Be encouraged. Be filled with joy. A joy that can rejoice in the midst of suffering and difficulty. Now, as we conclude and go to participate in the Lord's Supper, let us be reminded, brothers and sisters, the Lord has given us great blessing in His Son, and by His Spirit He has given us His precious Word. And as I said already, the Spirit of the Lord is present and active in the proclamation of His Word. And there's something very interesting about 1 Corinthians 11:26. He says that we, as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death. We proclaim the Lord's death. And it is in this participation of the Lord's Supper as a body, as a church, we proclaim the Lord's death. And so as we proclaim the Lord's death, we can be assured that the Spirit is present and active. And He will use this means to be for our spiritual nourishment, to be for our good. As we look to Christ in faith, and Christ alone, the Spirit will apply these benefits, that we might be strengthened in faith, that we might be strengthened, for we are weak. But we must receive the supper in faith. Not faith in the supper, not faith in the bread, but faith in Christ, in Him alone. And we can be assured that as we proclaim the Lord's death, the Spirit will apply and strengthen us as we do so, as we participate. Let us pray. Holy Father, we ask, O Lord, that You would bless this word to us, that we would be those who receive this message with gladness and with joy, that we would contemplate the great blessings which we have that extend farther and more fuller than what the prophets and what angels have understood. And Lord God, would You, by Your Spirit, work within us faith to believe and trust in Christ and to be dependent wholly upon You as we go throughout our week, that we might live godly, that we might live righteously, that we might live holy, that we might draw near unto You, even in the midst of difficulty and suffering and trial. We ask all of these things in the name of Your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.